In the epistle for the fifth Sunday after Easter is taken from that according to St. James chapter 1. Dearly beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and presently he forgets what kind of a man he is. But he who has looked carefully into the perfect law of liberty and has remained in it, not becoming a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, shall be blessed in his deed. And if anyone thinks himself to be religious, not restraining his tongue but deceiving his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Religion pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to give aid to orphans and widows in their tribulation, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. And then the Gospel is taken from that according to St. John chapter 16. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in parables. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in parables, but will speak to you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have delivered and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly and utterest no parable. Now we know that thou knowest all things and dost not need that anyone should question thee. For this reason we believe that thou camest forth from God." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So then today, on this fifth Sunday after Easter, the considerations today on prayer. Just a few considerations on this prayer. When our Lord said to his apostles, "Ask anything in my name and I will give it to you." And so there is a discussion of prayer today in the epistle and in the gospel in different ways. And the reason is because this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are the Rogation days. These are the days in which we usually go out and bless the crops in the field. And ask God that He will give us a sufficient food for the winter, that He will make us to survive through the next year. So we bless the fruit trees and the fields tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So the Rogation days. And sing the Litany of the Saints and ask God to bless us. And then on Thursday, we have, of course, the Holy Day, the Ascension Thursday. And we have these Rogation days right before Ascension because our Lord is going up into heaven. And we find that the people that get in the first word are often forgotten. But the people that get in the last word before he goes up into heaven, that these will be the ones freshest in his mind when our Lord goes up into heaven. And therefore the request asked at this time will carry a bigger weight. And so the church just simply discusses in a certain way the necessary thing of prayer. And so today, a consideration on prayer. Prayer is the lifting of the mind and heart to God, the universal consensus of the saints, the simple definition of prayer. Whenever we lift our mind and heart to God, and it is also stated that it is the breath of supernatural life, that without it there is no life, and that prayer has several things, several characteristics. One of which is, it must be constant. It must be constant. There isn't a day in which you decide not to breathe. So likewise, there cannot be a day that we decide not to pray. And prayer is with us like breath, whether we are sleeping or whether we are working or exercising or sitting. Whatever it is that we are doing, the breath is there. Sometimes it runs more quickly and breathes more deeply, other times more shallow, sometimes in the slow and deep breathing is in sleep, but the breathing happens at all times. So likewise, prayer must be at every part of our life, and it acts in different ways in our life. Prayer is an often misunderstood reality. Many moderns believe that it is something relegated to a few moments that you spend on Sunday saying a few words that you have been taught or that have come to your mind through your own private inspiration. And these things are not prayer. Though they are part of the possibility of breathing, they are not part of the aspect of what real prayer is. Real prayer shows itself in these ways at certain times. But prayer is something bigger, something deeper. And so St. James touches on it in the epistle. And he says, "Dearly beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And so St. James says that the majority of us, if we are speakers of the word, if we are hearers of the word, but we are not also doers of the word, then we are deceivers of self. And prayer does not have anything to do with deception. There are many things that we call prayer which really shouldn't be called by that name because they are deception. Many people pray for sin. That is a deception. Or they pray for something in order to take away their responsibility. This is a universal thing that very often, whenever you don't like someone, you say, "I will pray for you." What that means is, you have been written off my list, and you are hereby and therefore a worthless human being, and you get to go to hell as far as I am concerned. I am going to pray for you. This is not prayer. One of the statements of Bishop Sheen in a priest retreat, he says, "I believe that the most cruel thing that a priest can say to someone is, 'I'll pray for you,' because of what it usually means. It usually means the escaping of responsibility, means making excuses for sins. When we use the term prayer, it often means these things. I'm going to pray for you. I can't do anything. All I can do is pray." Now, it is true that there are times in life when all we can do is pray to a certain extent, in a secundum quid, quod amodo, in a certain way. But it is never absolutely true. And so, one thing that St. James warns us, do not be deceivers of yourself. Don't say that you're a man of prayer when you are not. Or as Saint Benedict says in his rule, prayer does not consist in long discourses, but it is short and pure and with many sighs and tears. Prayer is short and pure with sighs and tears and does not consist in long discourses. Very often, when you think you had a good spiritual day in the chapel, it is a day in which you ran your mouth without ceasing before the Lord. Spoke many things, but he could not get a word in edgewise. One of the truths about prayer is that it is a communication. Communication between God and man. It is a very sacred and holy thing because it is one way in which God shows himself to us. And yet, we often waste this communication. It is not a double communication. We don't actually talk to God in such a way that we wish to hear what he has to say. The minimal requirement of true prayer, our Lord shows it in the Holy Thursday in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. That's the minimal requirement. We ask for something, but we always listen. We ask that his will be, we ask that we achieve a certain goal, that we get a certain blessing, and God wants us to ask for these blessings, both spiritual and material. But we must ask in such a way that we are ready to listen and to do. If our communication does not involve listening and doing, then St. James says, you are deceivers of self. So we ask God for help. We ask him that he might bless us with the winning of the lottery. And if we don't win the lottery, God doesn't hear our prayers. We don't understand what it means to hear. God hears every prayer. And he gives us an answer. And the problem is, we are so busy talking and we are so busy focused on what we want that we cannot hear his answer. We come and ask a question, but we do not want the answer. And God does not pay attention to such prayer that is not real prayer. He knows what is deception and what is real. What is real opens itself to what he wants. Even though we have strong desires and we are afraid that he might want something difficult for us or he might want something different for us, then we say, as our Lord said on the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, let it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. This is the minimum of prayer. A real communication, a true lifting of the mind and heart to God. It's like having a conversation in our head. Very often prayer is like the conversations we have in our head when someone walks out of a room. You may have had an argument with him. You may have had a discussion. May have been positive or negative. And they walk out of the room and you think of the things you should have said. And then you think of the answers that he would have given. So you carry on both sides of the conversation. You're talking to yourself. That happens when we talk to God sometimes. We carry on both sides of the conversation. And we should not carry on both sides of the conversation. We communicate our side, and there must be a moment of silence in which we open our ears and our hearts to hear his side. And then he will give to us, very often, a certain kind of eyes. And then we'll walk out of the church. We'll walk out of our place of prayer and we'll walk down the street and then we'll see something and that will be the answer to our prayer. But he will give us a certain sensitivity to how his will is manifested in daily life, in the decisions of daily life. What should be my next move in this chess game? Well, I'm in check. My king is in danger, and there is only one place to move. There is a clear answer to prayer. Make the one move. Don't scratch your head and wonder what should have been, what could have been, what would have been. But take the one move. There are many times in life when you don't have a choice, and you have to go to the left when you would rather go straight or to the right. Or you have to go right when you rather go straight or to the left and so on. And when these times come, it becomes manifest and clear what is the will of God. And each of those things is an answer to prayer. So when you're stuck in traffic jam on the way to work, it is an answer to prayer. Each of these things is a communication of the will of God to you. And we are to respond to that communication. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Now I know where I am supposed to be. Every aspect of supernatural life is called the life of prayer by the saints in mystical theology. It is prayer when we sleep. It is prayer when we rise. It is prayer when we work, prayer when we play. Because in each of these things, we always have our ears attuned, not our mouths, but our ears attuned to what God is saying to us and what he is teaching us, and what he wants us to do. And then these things enter into the mind, And we have true prayer as the Blessed Virgin Mary had. She pondered these things inside of her heart. She pondered. She also had physical things to hold, which were the subject of her prayer. Imagine if three wise men came to us when we were in need. And they brought to us gold and frankincense and myrrh. What will we do? We would say, thank you very much. And we would grab the gold and run. The frankincense smells good for a few minutes, but it has no great value. And the myrrh doesn't even smell good, and it has no value. But what did the Blessed Virgin Mary do? We can be sure that from that day forward, she kept the myrrh with her. When she was alone, she would pull out a little and she would meditate upon it. This stands for the death of my son. And when the time came that he died upon the cross, we can be sure that some of that myrrh was used in his burial. She always carried something with her. And this is something that we often do not do when we leave prayer. We don't carry something, carry a reminder, carry something to ponder, to turn in our hands. This is something that must be done when we pray. When you walk away from prayer, carry something with you. The majority of the teaching of the saints is that the most of the time, this something we carry with us away from prayer is a resolution. We are going to not curse at all today. We are going to be nice to Mr. Jones today, my rotten employer, or the fellow employee at work, or to the husband or the wife, as the case may be, when you're in a bad mood and you're going through your 3 days of silent treatment or whatever it is. That there is going to be a change of the way that we communicate. We carry something away from the prayer. In the beginning, we forget what we have carried away. We carry it for half a minute, and we forget. We carry it for 2 minutes, we forget. We carry it for an hour, we forget. But as time progresses, God allows it to carry it a little bit longer, and a little bit longer, and a little bit longer. And He begins to leave the residues of prayer within us. And then I'll close here with the gradual, or the Alleluia, Easter time. And this is a summary of all prayer. Alleluia, Alleluia, Christ is risen and hath shown His light upon us, whom He hath redeemed with His blood. I came forth from the Father, and I have come into the world. Again I leave the world, and I go to the Father. This is the summary of all prayer. First of all, Christ is risen. There was death. There was meaninglessness to life. There was no future and no hope. There was nothing to look forward to. And then He rose from the dead. And this transformed all of our lives. And now we have something to look forward to. You know that the condition of prayer is hope. We cannot pray if we have not hope. We pray for something we don't have, but we pray as if to get it. And our Lord says, when you pray, pray to obtain. Don't say too much what if. Pray to obtain. Pray to win the prize. And if God doesn't want you to win it, He'll make it clear. But pray with intensity and pray to get what we want. But He has risen. Now it is possible. So this is what gives us hope, the foundation of prayer. And He hath shown His light to us. Illuxit nobis. He has enlightened us. He's poured His light inside of us. We cannot have any contemplation of God. We can't have anything about prayer without Him pouring His light inside of us. He fills us with something that we didn't have already. As the Council of Trent says, we can't do anything without God's help. We can't even say, remember our sins. We can't think of Him. We can't begin to repent. God has to enlighten us first, and then we begin to repent. Then we begin to turn back to Him. And so He shines His light inside of us. First, He has risen. Secondly, He shines His light. And thirdly, He redeems us. It's interesting that the resurrection is considered first and the redemption third. He redeems us. Because it is only after His resurrection that His blood does any good. And therefore His blood flows inside of us. And we have the life blood of Jesus Christ inside of us. And then we become as Christ. We become connected to Him. I came forth from the Father. I have come into the world. Again, I leave the world to go to the Father. And that is our life of prayer. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost indwelling inside of us. He came forth from the Father. And when He came to this world, He wants to glue us to Him. And then He will go back to the Father. And we will have the desire that He has, the desire to return home. And that is the real fruit of prayer. The desire to go home. Like the prodigal son who was inside of his pit in the midst of his despair. And he rose up and says, I will go back to my Father's house. And I will say to Him, Father, I am not worthy to be called thy son. We want to return home to be in our Father's house. And our Father's house is in heaven. And as we develop in the life of prayer, we have a stronger and stronger desire for the kingdom of heaven, for perfect happiness, for the possession of all good, which can only be found in Jesus Christ and His Father and the Holy Ghost. And we want to live inside of them. And so the summary of prayer is the work of the Blessed Trinity in our lives. And so we want to adore and come close to that Trinity and no longer be deceivers of self, but hearers and doers of the Word, living the Word, breathing the Word, and not only speaking to it and yelling at it. That's what happened on Good Friday. They only spoke at the Word. If you be the Son of God, prove it. This is not prayer. Prayer involves so much more. And let's make sure that our prayer does as well. And we'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. And you're all invited downstairs immediately after the Mass for a little concert, and then after that, the meal.